Well, good morning. It's Easter weekend, and I'm going to talk about resurrection power today, and which is really the point of Easter. It's also the main point of Christ's life. And it's also not just theory. It's a living, powerful reality that I think one of the exciting things about centering prayer and meditation is that you have such an opportunity to actually tap into God's power, not just theorize about it. So let me share a few things. The Christian faith is mystical, it's spiritual. There's a very real spiritual energy that's at work. But the other key feature of the Christian faith is that it's not just mystical and spiritual. It's this mysterious connection between mysticism and spirituality and very real flesh and blood humanity, real living, earthy tears, pain, suffering, blood. And Jesus' life is like the prototype of that. That here was a man who wasn't above us all. He wasn't treated as a king. He was a king, but he wasn't treated like that. He was persecuted and he was rejected and he had to eat and he had to sleep and he went fishing. But in the middle of that, he's healing people. And a woman who has a need just touches his clothes, and the power of God flies through her and she gets healed. And a mountainside gets transformed with the glory of God, and it looks like he's wearing lightning for his clothing. And so in Jesus was what our lives are meant to look like, which is this paradox of combining the spiritual energy of God and very real flesh and blood. And then the resurrection, most of all, kind of captures that idea, this Easter weekend of blood, of pain, of death, of weakness, of carrying a cross. But then, wait for it, a couple of days later, just this explosive power of God doing something totally unnatural and breathing life back into it. And this kind of paradox is sometimes leads to unbelief because we've just become so aware of our physical nature and our physical need, and we kind of forget that spiritual side. But really, I guess the point of today, and I want to give you a couple of verses to reflect on and think about, the simple thought of today is centering prayer, meditation, is a deeply spiritual activity. And it's an activity where you're accessing the power of God, the very power that raised Christ from the dead. And you're welcoming and enabling that power to work in you, to transform within you, and then to tangibly make an impact in your life. We're doing this series right now on deepening meditation. And this is kind of the fourth in that series, and you might be totally confused about the numbering. but in the introduction, which we did last week, we spoke about how there are these different, the way to think about the spiritual life is that these different forces. There's forces that we exert towards God, and then there's forces that he exerts back towards us. And what we said is they're not equal forces. It's not karma. It's not that whatever I put in, I get back. It's grace, meaning that the force I exert towards God is a very little force. It's just a force that says, yes, I consent. And then what he gives back is all of heaven, all of himself. all of love. And today, really what I want to point out is that what he gives back is power, resurrection power. The Greek word for it is dunamis, which means dynamite. It's where dynamite comes from. It's just this explosive, unexplainable, radical, shocking power. And we need to believe it as Christians. But centering prayer is that moment where it all of this happens. It all comes together. Because in the moment of meditation, in the moment of silence, you're exerting your gentle force towards God, which is simply consent. It's saying, I consent to your presence, your power, your action in my life. But then it's important to know what's going to come back at you. and it might not be gentle. It's resurrection power is one of the things that comes back at you. And so this is super exciting. So let me just back up briefly and share a few things about this. And good morning, Drew. I see you're online now as well.
Good morning. Yeah, sorry, a little.
Hey, no worries, man.
Glad to be here.
We were just talking about how cold all the different parts of North America are, and so you're kind of in the middle.
Yep. Best it's been in quite a while. Beautiful sunny day, 60 degrees. I'm out at the new job site here, looking at the river as we speak today. So it's just beautiful here.
Sweet, man. All right, so we're talking about the mystical and the spiritual on the one hand, and the physical, the material things on the other. And these two things kind of create the paradox of life. So let me talk briefly about this, the paradox of life. Why is it a paradox that there's this weird mystical blend between the spiritual power energies and the physical material things? Well, it's in every life, there are two components. There's something you can touch and feel, and that's the human body, but there's something else that animates the human body and brings it life. Because what's the difference between me sitting here right now and a corpse? The physical composition is very little. The physical difference is very little. In fact, if I was to die this instant, there'd be very little chemistry difference between what there was 5 minutes earlier and what there is about that corpse. So there's this paradox of energy, of life, and then there's these physical things. The spiritual is the energy and the power. The physical seems to be the weakness and the need. The physical is what's constantly dying and decaying, and the spiritual is what's constantly seeming to breathe life. The physical is like a device, like a lamp that's not plugged in to the socket. And then the spiritual is like the electricity that flows through the lamp and suddenly makes it what a lamp really is. And I just keep having this picture of a flower, that a flower is not just a physical thing. I mean, you could reduce it to that. You could say it's just carbon atoms. But there's more to it. There's beauty and there's life. And so this is this paradox. The spiritual is the life, but it doesn't have a shell. And the physical is the shell, but it doesn't have life. Together, they're beautiful and complete. And I guess I just wanted to back up quickly to that and comment to say that the human family is probably split between maybe 30% of the Earth's population that don't believe what I've just said. Pretty much all that exists is material stuff. The flower is the flower. Rob's living organism is just a purely physical thing. But probably 70% of the Earth's population, even if it's just intuitively, knows that there's more than the physical, that there's something that animates everything else. Whether that's in Africa, where I would say 95% of Africa is just spiritual. It's just, there's this intuitive knowledge, whether, even if it's not Christian, and it kind of goes back to animist type religions. And science was always seen as the safe haven, the home for the 30%. For the guys that want to explain it all away, it's all just scientific and material. But even science is being radically overturned now with quantum physics. So one of the things that quantum physics says is when there's an action on any molecule, on any piece of the universe over here, there's a corresponding action on every other molecule in the universe. That's just science beginning to stray into the spiritual, you know. Anyway, the point is, we know that a couple of things, and let me read one or two verses in the Bible. Hebrews 1, verse 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So the force behind every atom, the reason quantum physics, the thing quantum physics is straying into, is the fact that the Son, Christ, sustains everything by his powerful word. And I love Colossians 1 verse 15. Similar, it says, he, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. They hold together. So there's this incredible spiritual power. It all originates in God. And another interesting topic for conversation, of course, is whether Christ is just Jesus' surname. And it's not. You know, Christ, Jesus became the Christ and was the Christ, but now the Christ fills all in all. And he's more than just the person of Jesus. As these verses show, he holds the universe together. So, here's the point of today. The life of Jesus exemplified the super paradox, which is like the super example of this paradox of matter and spiritual energy. And the resurrection, most of all, exemplified matter dying, but resurrection power going the other way. And the resurrection is meant to be a daily experience for Christians. That's my big idea today. The resurrection is meant to be a daily experience for you and for me. And meditation and centering prayer is probably the place, the engine room, where that can happen better than anything else. Philippians 3 verse 10 captures it. Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain resurrection from the dead. So here's one more part of this paradox in as far as it affects humans. And that's that the resurrection power of God comes more and more into play the weaker and weaker you are. The more and more you die, suffer, struggle, the more and more of this there is, which is the resurrection power of God. And again, centering prayer is kind of the engine room. It's the place where you are dying. It's the place where you are surrendering the false parts of you, the need for affirmation, the need for control, the need for security, all the thoughts that come from those needs. You're saying, no thanks. And then the life, the power of God is beginning to work in you. So I'm going to end this now, but not quite now, with 10 things to know about God's power and a verse for each that you can ponder on this week, perhaps as a prelude to meditation. 10 things about God's power, about this dunamis, the dynamite. Number one, God's power is the person of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. It's not just that Christ has the power of God. Christ is the power of God. So what's awesome about that is that this force that sustains and holds the universe together isn't an impersonal, amorphous force. It's a person. It's God. It's a personality that loves. Number two, God's power is already resident in you, but it's looking for traction. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So here's a crazy thought. Most of you know this already. But the power of God is already in you. The dunamis, the dynamite's already in you. It's just that the fuse needs to be lit for it to explode. There's an internal realignment that needs to happen. The false self needs to get out of the way, and then that power can begin to transform. So that comes to the third point. God's power transforms who we are. I chose an interesting verse for this, 1 Samuel 10, verse 6. Samuel said to Saul, he said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy, and you will be changed into a different person. You will be changed into a different person. That's what's happening. You're being changed into a different person. All over the Bible, there are examples of this. The Spirit of God coming on people, and they used to be Simon, and then they became Peter. They used to be Jacob the deceiver, and then they became Israel, the prince among God. They used to be Saul, the persecutor and killer of Christians, and they became Paul. Simon the broken reed became the rock. And we all being transformed by this power. And again, it's actually a lot easier. I knew everything I'm telling you now. I've known for 25 years, but it's only probably since I've begun centering prayer and meditation that I'm starting to see it really work. Because the false self, the need for affirmation, and all the energy I put into that needs to die in order for me to be transformed. The need for me to control everything needs to die. And I know that, but how do I do that? Well, the way I do that is I try to be silent, and when the thoughts come and I let them go, then it is dying. Fourth thing, the resurrection of Christ, so this weekend, is a permanent sign of God's intention for us. 1 Corinthians 6:14. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. That's the point. He will raise us also. The resurrection's like the mountain we look at every day when we lose focus and we're overwhelmed by the weakness of our physical nature. Number five, God's power removes us from the control of evil power. There is an evil power. Acts 26, verse 18, Paul said, my job was to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. There is a very powerful dark world, but God's power removes us from that. Number six, God's power increases in us as our physical power decreases. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 4, Christ was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we live with him. So I'm kind of flying through these, but they're very powerful. And I'd urge you to meditate on them. They'll be on the website. Number seven, God's power brings healing and strength to our bodies. Healing, guys. Acts 13 verse 2. When Peter saw this, he'd healed the lame man at the temple, and people were beginning to worship Peter. And it said, when Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? God's power makes people walk. Number eight, Christ's power gives us immunity against evil influences. Luke 10 verse 19, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Since I've started centering prayer, I was spiritually a very sensitive person. I'd go to a new city. I just feel things in the environment and they'd weigh me down. Since I've started centering prayer, it's like they're slightly in my consciousness, but they don't bug me one bit. There's just this muscularity that develops from centering prayer. Number nine, God's power has impact in the work we do in our lives, in our vocations and our careers. This week we were in Michigan at the Oil and Gas Association, and you could actually see almost tangibly, it stuck out, all the people who work for my company, Riverside. They were together, they were laughing, they were happy. It's almost like there were little lights on their heads in this big conference. And I'm not saying everyone else was bad. I'm just saying that in our company, over 3 years in Michigan, there's just this energy, this joy, this, and it just touches all of the people. And I'm convinced a big part of that just has to do with my own centering prayer, that I'm accessing more of God's life, and as the CEO, that just permeates. So let me read a verse on that that's maybe more specific. Deuteronomy 8, verse 17 to 18. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant. So nothing at the Oil and Gas Association had to do anything with how awesome I am whatsoever. It has just, if there's anything real there, spiritually animating, it has comes from God, God's power. And lastly, number 10, we access God's power in the secret place. Psalm 63, verse 2 to 4. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of food. So with that in mind, and sorry, slightly longer today, let's spend some time meditating and welcome Stuart.
Absolutely.
No worries, man.